Praise the Lord. Penny's talking. Thank you, Jesus. Well, glory to God. 2020. Going to have plenty in 2020. You know, used to, I guess they still do, people out there, churches, ministers, pastors, whatever, prophets. Every year they try to get something to rhyme with that year, you know. And and that's what they do. And they'd say that's what God's going to do in that year. But it had to rhyme. I remember going to get skinny in 2020. That's it. I'm going to get skinny in 2020. Going to have plenty and skinny and penny. Going to have plenty skinny penny in 20. That come to pass, don't it? I remember in what year? In 2006, this pastor had on his church sign out in front of the church, says, going to get fixed in 26. I mean, 06. You remember that, Chuck? We said, you better change that out there. I'm not going to this church. I'll tell you one thing. Get fixed in 26. I mean, 06, not 26. Huh? I wasn't mean. I was trying to help. Oh, I don't know what it means. That's not, nobody knows what it means. Just find something rhyme and say that. But, you know, people do. They'll seek the Lord. It's good to seek God first every year and see where you're going, what's happening, get a word from the Lord. But I found out, you know, God's God every day. God doesn't have a calendar. Doesn't have to wear a bulba. And what God's doing, he's doing. Amen? And just find out what the Word says. That's what he's going to do. And there'll be ups and downs and ins and outs and trouble and disappointments and happiness and blessings and all that last year and this year. Amen? And God never changes. Whatever you're believing for and shooting for, that's what'll happen next year. And some things God's not going to tell you what's going to happen because you'd worry about it anyway. And you couldn't handle it. God gives you the grace to handle what happens when it happens. Oh, yeah, Kathy's sister went to heaven this morning. She went to heaven this morning early. Praise the Lord. And which is good. And so, praise God. Amen. I was looking at some pictures the other day of Vietnam. Some places where we was at over there and some different camps and little old places and seeing some pictures and things. And that's back in 70, 71. That's a long time ago. And I could have stood, if I knew then what I know now, I could have stood there in Vietnam and prophesied. Couldn't. And I could have said, it's going to be all right. You know, not going to die, you're going to make it. So that's the way it is today. It doesn't matter what's in front of us. We're going to make it. Amen? It doesn't matter. We're going to make it. We're going to come out on top. And what God does, he's going to do. And things are going to happen in the United States. Hallelujah. It's not going to be any different. Same thing. Amen? Look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Moses prophesying to the children of Israel. You look at Israel, everything that God said about Israel's come to pass. And that's why Satan fights Israel so hard. If he can keep things from coming to pass in Israel, then he'll defeat the world. He'll defeat God. Because God's word has said it, things that's going to happen in Israel, and it will happen. And if Satan can defeat one word, to stop one word of God from coming to pass, then he can overthrow God. Did you know that? But God's word's going to come to pass. Nothing can stop it. Amen? I like the last verse in chapter 29 there. It says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. Amen? To the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us. But those things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. Thank God. So if you can get a revelation of healing, then it'll belong to you. You'll be healed. You'll teach it to your kids, and that revelation will flow into your family, and they'll get it. And if they latch on to it, it'll go to their kids. You get a revelation of prosperity of God, the joy of the Lord, things of God, and it'll transfer, and it'll go as long as some of the kids hang on to it. But if they ever get slack, they'll lose it. And that belong to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Praise the Lord. Now, Moses here starts out in chapter 30, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you. Now, I read a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about the law, what the law was, and Jesus fulfilled the law. The law was, and the curse of the law was, that the law was holy. Wasn't anything wrong with the law, but the curse was nobody could keep it. That was the curse on the law. Nobody could keep the thing. And so Jesus came and fulfilled it. He kept it. And so he fulfilled it, and in him now, he fulfilled every bit of it. And when you get born again and you're in him, by being in him, you keep it. And so there's no more curse on the law. Amen? But if you get out of Jesus, get back over in the flesh, according to Romans and Galatians, and you get back into the flesh or back into works or trying to do it yourself or trying to make it come to pass yourself, or trying to depend on yourself, you get back under the works of the law or the works of the flesh or the old man, and you get cursed. Nothing works. You get into what Paul said, witchcraft. And he said, oh, foolish people, who's bewitched you that you try to come back under the law or trying to do it yourself? And Paul wrote in the book of Romans, and especially 5, 6, and 7, he talked about the curse of the law and trying to keep the law and what the law was. Then he came on into chapter 8 and he got a revelation and he got set free. He said, nobody can keep it. Oh, wretched man that I am. What I want to do, I don't do, and what I don't want to do, I do. That's what the law is. But he said now in chapter 8, verse 1, now therefore is no condemnation to him that's in Christ Jesus. And so he gives us three laws there in chapter 8. We taught you last week. And so he set us free from trying to struggle and make things happen. If we just get in Jesus and trust him, we don't have to depend on ourselves. And the flesh always fails. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, if you sow to the flesh, of the flesh you will reap death. You'll reap death. But if you sow to the Spirit, of the Spirit you'll reap life. Now, what's that mean exactly? And I told you last week, everything that's of man, everything of the flesh dies. Everything. If you spend your life in the flesh, Paul talked about in Galatians and Romans, talked about the old man, talked about the flesh, and talked about the carnal man. And that's just your old nature, who you was before you got saved. That's all that's talking about. And if you try to live that life, doing it yourself, trusting in yourself, making it happen yourself, depending on yourself, then that's the flesh, the old man, in which it's sin, that's sin nature. But when you come into the Spirit, that's trusting God and depending on him and so into the Spirit. And I said, everything of man, no matter, you can spend your whole life working three jobs and trying to gain stuff and build a nice home and build a nice life and try to build it for your family and all your kids, and you wind up losing your kids and losing your family and losing everything, and when you die, somebody else spends it all, like Solomon said in the book Ecclesiastes. He said it's all vanity. He said, what I've seen, a man works hard all of his life, gains a fortune, and dies, and his kids are wasted. He said, this is vanity. Well, that's what the flesh is. Oh, we got to be like somebody else, and we got to be rich, and we got to have all these things. And God wants us to have them, and he'll give them to us. You know, you're not supposed to strive for these things. You seek the kingdom of God and all these things that will be added to you. But people, they go after these things, reputation and ego and lust of the flesh and all these things, desires of life. That's works of the flesh. And it doesn't matter what you gain, what you build, what you do. It'll all just wash away. All be gone. You'll have nothing. You get to heaven, it'll all be wood, hay, and stubble. There'll be no reward. There'll be nothing. But if you spend your life seeking after God, following God, doing the work of God, going to the house of God, studying the Bible, worshiping Jesus, giving your life to him and to his call, his purpose, that's called the works of the Spirit, and it produces life. It produces fruits in your life that will remain. And you'll keep your kids and keep your family, and you go down to your grandkids and all that. And it's fruits of the Spirit. And it produces life. No matter what man makes, even this pulpit will one day vanish. It'll die. It'll go away. This flesh, this body, everything of man goes away. It won't see. Man, my body came from man. My spirit came from God. Man cannot produce spirit. Man and woman produces a body. That's what they produce. God gives us a spirit. He puts life in that body that mom and dad produced. But man can't produce a spirit. Spirit's life. But the flesh that man and daddy and mom produced, it will die. It'll go back to the dust. I don't care what you do, how much money you spend on it. You can, you know, sew it up, prop it up, lift it up, build it up, you know. It'll make any difference. One day it'll go, whoop. It'll just flop. And all that money you put in it. Just think about it. I got a fortune in my teeth. I told that doctor, I said, can I will them to somebody? Just don't seem right. All the money I put in my teeth, I would be able to take them with me or something. I've never spent much on doctors or anything. Just I didn't have good teeth, you know. And it doesn't look good up preaching with no teeth. But that don't make any difference, you know, what you do with this body. The thing's going to get old. It's just going to die. That's called flesh. But the things that you invest in God, all the time you put in going to church, all the money you gave to God to help build a Bible school in Peru, everything you do for God will last for eternity. It will never die. Never die. Wow. So man's so vain, we try to build our life on sand. On sinking sand. It don't work. It just goes away. But everything in God lives forever. Just like that song says, 10,000 years from today, we'll still be praising him. Amen? Put your money where it produces life. Put your life where it produces life. He said if you try to keep your life and try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you'll give your life to him, it'll last forever. Amen? That means your time, your effort. I tell people every time we take up an offering, that is your life. You worked so many hours for that money. You sweated and labored for that. That's your life. And you're putting it in there, and you're putting it in the offering, and it'll never die. That seed that you gave tonight will never die. It'll keep working, producing in the kingdom, producing in your life, and when you get to heaven, it'll be a reward for you. Amen? Amen. So as for me and my house, I'm going to think I'm going to go to church. I think I'm going to worship God. And I'm going to give him my money, my time, my effort, and I'm going to be, you'll live. Amen. Praise the Lord. Here Moses is prophesying to him. Now he had spent chapter 27, chapter 28, chapter 29, talking to him about the law, the curse, and the blessing. He got him in a little valley there, and he put some of them on this mountain. I've been to those mountains. And some on this mountain. And Joshua got in the valley, and Moses did. He read the curse. And every time he'd read the curse, somebody over here would say, amen, so be it. Then he'd read the blessing. And these on this side would say, amen, so be it. So they went through that whole thing in Deuteronomy 27, 28, where the curses are and the blessings are. And he established that. So he'd spent all that time trying to get it inside of them to what the blessings and the curses were. And he told them, if you'll obey the Lord and you'll keep his commandments and not go away from him, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. And if you don't serve the Lord and if you don't follow him, then you'll open the door and all these curses will come upon you. And he told them, trying to instill it inside of them. But they didn't get it, you know. So that's what we do today as preachers. We preach to people. Follow the Lord. Stay close to God. Go to church. Put your tithe in the offering plate. Praise God. Live for Jesus. And if you do that, your life will be blessed. Don't make any difference what comes this year. God will see that you go through it. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us from all of them. No matter what happens, the secret things belong to the Lord. He's not going to tell you what's coming. He might let you in on some things, but he's not going to tell you. And he'll say, just stay strong. What you do tomorrow, do today. What you do today, do tomorrow. And it doesn't matter what this prophet says, that prophet says, nobody says. Everything will be okay at your house. But when you don't do that, same thing God tried to tell, Moses tried to tell them, and God tried to tell them. He still tells us today. But like they were, like the church is, people are today. They still think they can do it. Still try to do it by the works of the flesh. Still try to do it by their own hand, their own labor, their own sweat, trying to make it themselves. To no avail. It doesn't work. But God. Amen. Now it came to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you. Now notice what Moses just said to these people. He just got through reading them the blessing and the curse, and he tells them here later, now I set before you life and death. Make the choice. You choose. And he's telling them all these things, and they're standing there, and then Moses tells them. Now then, here he prophesies. He said, now when you go out and you make your mind up that you're going to choose blessing and the curse, he tells them there that a whole... that a lot of you are going to choose and you're going to be cursed. Then he tells them, because of that, because you're choosing the curse, God will drive you from this land to all over the world. They stand there saying, huh? Just like most people do in church today. What's he talking about? That's pretty good preaching, Moses. Was that a good message old Moses preached Sunday? They didn't know what he was talking about. But it's happened. You and I can look back and see every bit of it happened to the children of Israel. They were driven throughout the whole world. And Moses was prophesying. Now look at it again. Now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you. He's telling them. They will come upon you. The blessing and the curse. which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among the nations where the Lord your God drives you. And he says, now when you get out there, and God, you've lost it all, and you're backslidden, and you're away from God, and you didn't choose the blessings, you didn't choose to follow God, you didn't choose to worship God, you didn't choose to go the pattern of the church, you decided you didn't have to go to church, you didn't have to do this, you didn't have to do that. And he said, when you get out there and you've lost everything, and you're driven to all the nations of the world, he said, now you remember what I told you. You remember it. And he told them that so they'd know how to get back. Thank God for what we hear. Thank God for the people that's not heard much, but they heard a little. Thank God the kids in this church and some of the kids, and they went out and they made mistakes and they're doing some wrong things, but thank God they heard. And, you know, I'm going to send them an email, some of them, and say, now listen, you heard. And when you're out there and you're eating slop and you're in the pig pen, remember what I told you. And you can come back. It's the way back. And we have to trust the Lord. They will come back. And they will. If Israel made it back, believe me, they'll be back. Amen? If Israel made it back, and God brought them back to Israel, and the land is flourishing, and you look to Israel, and when you look to Israel, you can believe your promise. If he can do it for Israel, he'll do it for anybody. Amen? No matter how far they go. He said, you remember when you get there. And you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity. They hadn't gone into captivity yet. They're living on the high end of the hog. That's Greek. At this time, they're doing good. And they say, what's he talking about? And bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If only you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, and there the Lord your God will gather you, from there he will bring you back. In other words, he said, it doesn't matter where you go. If he drives you to the farthest end of the earth, in some jungle far away, some little land, if there's a Jew there, God will bring them back. Now, he is prophesying to them, Moses was. They're in the land, or they hadn't got there. They was going into the land. And Deuteronomy means say it again. So Moses was repeating the law and repeating all of it to them. And he said, this is your future. This is your future, Jew. Because you would not follow God. Because you wouldn't listen to his word. Because you didn't listen to the preacher. And you thought you could follow your own way and do your own thing and serve other gods and the works of your hands and the lust of the flesh. And when you get out there, you remember. Amen? Verse 5. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. Well, what a good promise to captive people. Now, you remember what Sherlock told us when he was here in 1948 when this started happening? When they came back, this started happening. This prophecy started happening in 1948. Wow, that's a long time from that day Moses stood on that mountain and prophesied to those people. But it started happening in 1948. Now, on the Jewish calendar, 1948 that year was 5,708. You remember? And so if you go to the scripture, that was 5,708 is verse 5. It's this verse. In 1948, on the Jewish calendar, that's this scripture. Then the Lord your God will bring you back to the land. God's word's true. If you got a promise and I've got a promise, it doesn't matter what year it is. It doesn't matter what's 2020, it's going to be the year of plenty. How do I know? Because the Bible tells me so. I don't need a word from God. I already got a word from God. It's going to be a year of plenty for me, year of increase for me, year of favor for me, year of blessing for me, year of restoration for me, year of healing for me, year of joy for me, year of peace for me. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. Amen? Thank God for a prophet that stands up and confirms that and tells me, oh, there's going to be turmoil in the Middle East. Yes, they are. There's going to be war. Yes, they are. And they're going to fight. I already know that. Why? The Bible tells me so. They're going, all of it, all the nations that's going to be involved in Armageddon, that's going to be involved at the end, they're in the Middle East now. They're all there now. Turkey's on the move. All these nations, China, look what China's doing. All of them, it's said, the tip of the spear is being sharpened, and it's going to make its move. I already know that. Well, what about me? It's year of plenty. It's 2020. Amen. It's a year of healing. It's a year of peace for me and joy for me. The body of Christ will go from strength to strength. The remnant of God will go from strength to strength. Revelation to revelation. More and more will be added to it. We're not going to decrease. We're going to increase. It'll be the year of glory. The year of glory. It'll be a year of building. It'll be a year of prosperity. It'll be great moves of the supernatural among us. Great moves of the glory of God among us. There'll be signs that we've not seen. It'll be a visitation of angels. The Lord made that plain to me. We was here praying a few weeks ago. I started saying something about it then, but I didn't. And I was here praying, and we was praying in the Spirit. And one of those nights, we was praying pretty good. And I started praying, and I heard a horn blow right there. Sound like somebody blew one of those shofars. I heard it blow right there. And I opened my eyes quick. I thought, who blew that horn? And I thought it wasn't real loud. And I thought somebody's phone. But the Lord quickened that to me. That horn blew. I heard it. Glory be to Jesus. And what you remember, an old prophet by the name of Elijah? See, he heard it before he saw it. You hear it, then you see it. You know, he told Jeremiah, he said, now you've seen it, and you've seen it plain, I'm going to do it. God won't do it until you see it. And you won't see it until you hear it. And when you hear it, it causes you to see it. And when you see it, God does it. And we're going to start hearing more and seeing more and doing more. God's going to do some things. Whether it's this year, but that's that time. God works on his time clock. He works in the Spirit where there's no January. There's no first of the year. It's in seasons. And we've entered a new season. You know what my season is, maybe another church's season will be different. So I know where we're at and where we're going, but we're at a place that's going to take more dedication, more responsibility. Some will move forward and some won't move. But because some don't move, don't keep some of us moving forward. Amen? But the ones of us move forward, we'll drag the rest of them on with us in the Spirit. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap. You have to sow first before you reap. Now to the Spirit. Now what do you sow to the Spirit? Well, one of the things you sow to the Spirit is tongues. You pray in tongues, and you have to pray quite a bit in tongues before you start seeing, you know, some of the reaping of the Spirit. Now, whatever your gifting is when you pray in the Spirit, that causes that gift to be enhanced greatly. It causes that gift to be either birthed, and if it's already been birthed in the Spirit, it'll cause it to be stirred up. If it's lying there dormant, and some people's gifts are dormant, they let them go dormant because of the natural man, because of the flesh. We get weary in well-doing. Doing what? Praying in the Spirit. We get weary. Well, we get weary because we don't see anything happening. We get weary because people around us drag us down. We get weary because nobody's going with us. We get weary because it becomes just a lot of unbelief, a lot of, people in the natural, in the flesh, carnal-minded people will drag you down spiritually quicker than anything. And like Moses, you have to separate yourself from the people. You have to go a little higher. You have to make yourself go up. And if you'll do that and sow to the Spirit, after a while you'll begin to reap. You begin to reap some of the things you sowed. Well, you stir your gift up. Then you start enhancing that. See, if you're a teacher and you pray in tongues a lot, you'll teach better. You'll get revelations of the Spirit. Your teaching ministry will flourish. And no matter what your gift is. I'm praying in the Spirit quite a bit and start praying and walking the floor of here, and I'll just start prophesying. It just starts rolling out of me because that's my gifting, as well as some other things. It flows out of you. If you're a worshiper or a singer, it enhances. It gets greater and greater and greater and greater. And that's where the glory is seen. You move into that. But if you don't sow to the Spirit, we don't reap nothing. If churches don't sow to the Spirit, out of the Spirit, they don't reap anything. You have to sow to the Spirit for out of the Spirit. You understand that? You sow to the flesh all the time. Everything you do is just natural and carnal. Just in the flesh all the time. Well, it's just it's going to reap death. It won't produce, in other words. It doesn't mean you're going to die. It means you won't. What you're doing will not be that productive. But of the Spirit. But of the Spirit. If you're a businessman, if you sow to the Spirit, your business will start growing. God will start causing things to happen. You'll start meeting people. Things will be happening. Amen? So we're going to have to do more sowing of the Spirit this year than we have been. Amen? You can't reap beyond what you've sown in nothing. We're wanting some things, and we're seeing some things, and we're sensing some things in our spirit, the body of Christ is, and ministers are. But you are not going to get any more than you've put in it. You will not reap beyond what you've sown. You can't. That's a spiritual law. God's not going to increase you if you've not sown to the Spirit. Now, money is money, but if it's sown spiritual, if it's given right, with the right attitude, given according to the word and tithe, then it becomes a spiritual seed. Then the more you give to the Spirit, the more you'll reap. The more you'll reap. But if you don't do anything in the Spirit, you're not going to reap nothing. Amen? That's why our services sometimes get dull. That's why people get dull. That's why you get dull. You're sowing to the flesh. All you do is flesh. Comes time to read, what do you read? Well, I've got this great romance novel. Of the flesh, you'll reap what? Ain't going to be no spirit to that. And you come to church and it's like, Wow, you're around spiritual things and there's nothing been sown to what you're around. Well, good morning. Hello out there in radio land. But you sow to the Spirit. Amen? It's like, wow, you know, you feel that run up your spine. That's where them old Church of God's got that drunk, jerk, where they get drunk, you know. They've been sowing to the Spirit. And that's a part of reaping. It just, glory, that, you know, they get blessed. Just, oh, hallelujah, you know. But somebody's been reading Gone with the Wind. They're just windy. I'm not that windy, but just old. It'd be good if you was like that windy. You'd be wild. You know what I mean? That's just the way it is. I mean, that's happened in my life. How do I know these things? I've proven it. Amen? The more you sow to the Spirit, the more sensitive you are. Tongues are a doorway into the supernatural. You won't have any supernatural experiences unless you sow supernatural. You have to sow to your Spirit. Amen? Amen. Then the choir, you know, they sow to the Spirit, and they've been sowing, and they're ready to praise the Lord, and they get up there and they start praising. They look out on a congregation who's been watching, you know, as an edge of dark. Or they used to come on TV, wasn't it? No, the edge of night. Or they've been watching the Bachelor. Or Naked and Not Afraid. Or they've been watching their programs, you know. And so they come up here and you got a spiritual group singing spiritual songs, moving over into the realm of glory. And somebody's out there thinking, what time is it? I'm getting hungry. Are you hungry? It's flesh and spirit. The Bible says the flesh is the enemy of the spirit. You see, our biggest enemy is not the devil. That's not what's keeping us out of the presence of God. It's not demons. It's not devils. It's our flesh. Our flesh is a natural, flesh likes comfort. Well, we like to be comforted, you know, and relaxation. And we don't want to be bothered. Flesh don't want to be bothered, you know. It's like, just can't you calm down? Isn't that too loud? Why do you have to act like that? Why do you have to run like that? That makes me nervous. That's flesh. But then you get somebody that's been praying in the Spirit. Oh, Rabakasa. They're wound up like an 8-day clock. And they'll start, you know, singing some songs and getting over into the Spirit. And they get plumb wild. They can't help from dancing, can't help from hallelujah, glory to God, I feel it. And they'll start jerking. Well, you can't do that in the flesh. Sorry, my throat. I've had a little congestion this week, so I start getting a little horse or a pony or something up here. But you can't do that in the flesh. That's impossible. That irritates your flesh. The flesh is the enemy of the spirit. I'm believing the things that I'm seeing in the Spirit and the things some other ministering people are seeing in the Spirit, they will come to pass if we sow to our spirit. But if we don't sow to these things, if you don't sow to them, they won't happen. I don't care how many words you've got. God's promises are conditional. God tells you what the Spirit says. Thus saith the Lord. He'll prophesy about your ministry. I'm seeing this and I'm seeing that, and you're going to do this and that. then say, oh, I can't wait till this comes to pass. Well, you got to sow. to your harvest. You have to sow to it. And if you don't sow to it, it'll just happen in small measures. Small measures. You know, it's like I heard somebody say one time, a preacher that was really frustrated, he said, you know, I get frustrated, you know, we like to just go out and eat and go to a movie. And I said, no, your frustration is it's the Spirit of God trying to draw you in to pray, trying to draw you into a place where you sow into your what he's stirring you about. One thing about the Spirit, if it's active and it's doing, it'll frustrate your flesh. It'll make your flesh uneasy until it submits. It's trying to get your flesh to submit. Just shut up and go pray. Just shut up and pray in tongues a little. Shut up and go down and see what God's saying, wants to say to you. And it frustrates our flesh. But we don't know what that is, and so we don't submit our flesh to it, you know. You have to submit your flesh to the Spirit. Because the flesh is the enemy of the Spirit. And if we'll sow to these things, we'll see these things. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And you sow to the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. And you start doing that, and I guarantee you, after a while, the expression on your face has changed. The world's sad if you didn't know it. The world's sad. And they're tired. You know, and you'll get like that. You'll get sad and tired. Praise the Lord. And you go to a church like this, and it irritates you. Because we don't have little quiet, sad services. Amen. Where's Moses at anyway? And the Lord your God will get you and bring you back. Now, notice what he says over in verse 19. He keeps prophesying to him. Notice, look in verse 15. He prophesies to him, and he's telling them now all the things that will happen when they come back. He tells them, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to go into the curse, and you're going, things, bad stuff's going to happen to you. But then you'll come back, you'll start, you know what I'm saying, sowing to the Spirit, get back where God wants you, back into the land. And our land is a place in the Spirit, not in the natural. Verse 15, see, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. And that command, and I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and keep his commandments, his word, and his judgments, that you may live and you'll multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go in to possess. Now, like I say, he's not necessarily talking about land to us in the New Testament. They were natural. They were type and shadows of what we are, spiritual. We move into spirit realm. We don't fight flesh, we fight demons. And we move into a place of the Spirit. We move into a spiritual occupant. We possess things in the Spirit. We don't possess territories. We don't get out here and say, well, we're going to go in and we're going to possess the Biltmore house. That's ours. You know, we don't possess land. We don't drive people out of their land and take their land. We do that spiritually. We occupy places in the spiritual realm. That's how we go from glory to glory. Now, what he's saying here, I set before you life and death, that's what he tells us in the New Testament. I set before you today the carnal mind and the spirit. If you will sow to the Spirit and not follow the ways of the flesh, you'll have life. That's exactly what Galatians 6:9 says, life and death. Said, of the flesh it will be death, and of the Spirit will be life. Same thing he's telling them, because we're spiritual. Can you see that? Now, if you spend all your time fleshly stuff, you know, you won't have what God wants you to have in the Spirit. You've got to get it in the Spirit first, then it's released in the natural. Can you see that? And the Lord your God will bless you in the place, in that spirit place you get. But if your heart turns away from God, that you don't hear and you're drawn away, and you go after worship the works of the flesh, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You sow to the flesh, you love the flesh, reap. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over this Jordan to possess. I call heaven and earth to witness today against you that I will set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose what you want, that you and your children may live, that you may love the Lord your God and obey his voice, that you may cling to him, that he is your life, and he'll be the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to give you in the possessions or whatever he's promised you in the spirit, well, calling or whatever. Amen? Now, I like verse 6 here in chapter 31. Be strong. This is our scripture for this year. Be strong and good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid. For the Lord your God, he is one who goes with you, and he will not leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, be strong and courageous. You must go with these people to the land or the place where God's wanting to take us. And he has sworn already before the foundation of the earth to give us, that you may cause them to inherit everything that Jesus died to give us. Amen? It just don't fall on you like ripe cherries on a tree. You have to possess everything that Jesus Christ died to give you. You have to possess healing. You have to possess prosperity. You have to possess these things. Look with me in Psalms 138. Now we're not alone. We've got help. Amen. 138 verse 8. The Lord will complete what concerns me. Amen. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. I like that. The Lord will finish what he started in me. Philippians 1:6. I'll read this and put up real quick. Philippians 1:6. Be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun something on the inside of you, he paid on the inside of you. The gifts and calling of God are inside of you. Prosperity is in here. Healing's in here. All the possessions of heaven are yours, deposited on the inside of you when you got born again. Now, you got filled with the Holy Ghost, and his job is to help you work out your salvation. All the things that's been given to you in your spirit, you have to possess them. They just won't come on you. You have to know what the Word says. You have to claim the Word, and you have to spend time sowing to those things before they'll come to pass. They just won't happen. And you see people who sow to these things, they begin to prosper. They begin to be in health as their soul prospers. Their mind gets in agreement. Their flesh comes under subjection to their spirit. And that flesh becomes, Paul said, I die daily. And he puts his spirit under subjection, his flesh under subjection every day to his spirit. And that way he said, my flesh will not rule me. And he sowed to the Spirit. How did Paul know what he is called to do? How did Paul know these things? He sowed in the Spirit. He said, I thank God I pray in tongues more than all of you. Amen. Jude says this. Book of Jude, chapter 1, just verse 24. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to present you faultless glory. Before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the presence, amen, of His glory. To present you faultless. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to read to you Galatians chapter 6. We'll close here. What I've been bouncing around all night. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. That means to do not be deceived. God is not mocked to laugh at or with contempt or think that it means. One translation means to turn your nose up at, or if I not really true, you know. We use this scripture for money, but it's not talking about money. Can be talking about money, but it's spiritual, but it's not talking about money. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. In other words, it will absolutely come to pass. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of his flesh reap death. But he who sows to the Spirit, capital S, will reap from that Spirit everlasting life. From the Spirit that he sows to in the Spirit. Now that's a capital S, means the Holy Spirit, but it's actually a little s. They put the wrong, they shouldn't have been capitalized. They're saying it's the Holy Spirit, but it's your spirit. But that's inside of you. That's talking about the things that's been deposited on the inside of you. He that sows to those things will out those things, out of that spirit, reap everlasting life. Now do not be weary in sowing to the Spirit. Do not be weary while doing good or sowing to the Spirit. For in due season, you will reap if you don't lose heart. Now, we use that. I've heard a lot of evangelists use that as evangelistic message. Talking, you know, about people who spent their life sowing to the flesh. And, you know, that's a good evangelistic message. We use it most time where money's concerned, but it's not talking about money only. Can be talking about money. If you sow money, spirit, money is not a seed. It's how you sow it that's the seed. Who you give it to is the seed, the way you sow. But see, just giving it, there's so many things can rob us of that harvest. But if we sow to our spirit, one of the best ways to sow the spirit, that spirit. And when you sow to that, you will reap of that. You'll see your life turn around. God, He knows what He's talking about. Don't be weary. Amen? Amen. Stand up with me. Don't be weary in sowing to the Spirit. Now, if I sow my seed and give my money, there is an attack that's guaranteed to come with that. An attack of the devil that's guaranteed to come with that. To try to stop me from reaping a harvest. Well, your money is not spirit if it's sowed with the wrong motive. If you're giving to get rich, that's not a spiritual seed. That's a fleshly seed. You're giving with a motive to gratify your flesh or to gain something in the flesh. Amen? But if you give a spiritual seed for the kingdom of heaven to gain access to the things of God in heaven, the kingdom of God, you give it to help in love, and that's a spiritual seed. But with that comes an attack of the devil. He don't want you prospering because he knows what you'll do with it. He knows you'll help the kingdom of God, so he's going to attack you. Well, how do we fight that? How do we make that seed become a great harvest? I'm praying over that seed, Lord. I've got a deposit. That one of the definitions for sowing there means to deposit. He that sows to the Spirit, he that deposits in the Spirit shall make a withdrawal. And now, Lord, I've deposited my money in the Spirit. I heard Norval Hayes say something one time that I didn't understand at the time. He said, if you're having a problem getting healed, there's something wrong somewhere. If your faith's strong, he said, you need to pray in tongues. The Holy Ghost will get it for you. Well, I didn't understand that, but I know what he's talking about today. The Holy Spirit will get it for you. That's his job. He's sent here to get it for us. Amen. Father, we thank you. This year, Lord, we're going to do more sowing in the Spirit. We're going to be a spiritual-minded church more than a carnal-minded, more than a fleshly-minded. Lord, the church, we've become more carnal-minded, fleshly-minded, worldly-minded than we are spiritual-minded. There goes the gifts of the Spirit. There goes the operation of the Spirit. There goes the leading of the Spirit, and we don't see any spiritual activity in our churches. But this year, Lord, we're going to sow to the Spirit. Whatever's been promised us, we'll see it happen this year, because we're going to sow to the Spirit, and out of that Spirit we will reap. And we'll reap abundance. And we'll reap what God has deposited in us, and what he said from the foundation of the earth that belongs to us, our inheritance. And we will not leave this earth without getting a full deposit from heaven. We make withdrawals, Lord, and we thank you for leading us into victory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, give the Lord a good hand. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. I remember years ago, what's his name out in Oklahoma? He wrote a book about praying in tongues a lot. Dave Roberts. And Bob Yandy, and I remember listening to him years ago. He said he had read that book. And Dave Robeson, you know, he started doing that. And just all kind of miracles started happening everywhere he went. Miracles happening. And Bob said, that's what I want, is miracles happening in my ministry. So he said, I prayed in tongues all the time. And he said, all I did was just talk better. He said, I just kept teaching better, getting more revelations. And he said, it finally dawned on me that what it did, it just enhanced the gift that was in you. Dave Roberson had that gift in him. And so he just caused it to be birthed and come alive. Amen. So you don't know what's in you. You don't know. But God does. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed.